J.C. Corcoran Podcast.
Well, is everything straightened out?
We are ready whenever you are.
Doesn't it look like I am ready? I am always ready. I have been ready since first call. I am ready. Roll.
Quiet, please. This is a take.
Settle. Roll, please. Speed.
Action!
Action!
Excuse me, sir, is this the Delta House?
Sure. Come on in.
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest is jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over.
It is Wednesday, April 3rd, 2024. How you doing, kids? You are at jcontheline.com, our big home opener extravaganza, the one that's in the archives at the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown, New York, comes your way tomorrow. And I'll tell you one thing. If you got tickets to the game, there's going to be some damn cold pep rallies and a damn cold baseball game tomorrow. KMOX does this thing. They've been doing it for the last couple of years. They set up a big tent, and then they charge you some sort of exorbitant amount of money. I mean, it's ridiculous. But then you get to go into their tent, and there's all I know is there's beer and there's eggs. Not a combination that I would normally recommend, by the way. And you think that a fertility clinic is the only place that's going to have frozen eggs tomorrow? Going to have frozen eggs tomorrow? No, I think Cam Wax is going to be right there with their frozen eggs, too. At least they're going to play the game. At least they're going to play the game, and there's no snow or anything like that. They've been battling with just brutal weather in Chicago the last couple of nights. I mention that because the Cubs-Cardinal rivalry is really going to heat up again this year. You know, the Cardinals finished 20 games out of first place last year, and the Cubs and the Cardinals played, so what? Cubs weren't in it either. That's going to change this year. Cubs are a much improved ball club. The Cardinals, I don't know what to say about this team. I'm still not 100% sure I know what this team is. And the Cubs, it sounds like they're going to make another big deal for another starting pitcher. And like I said, all I know is this. I just see that rivalry really heating up again this year and for the first time in quite a while. And I'm very, very excited about that. By the way, you know, if you are not from Chicago, but you go up there for the Cubs-Cardinal weekends, or maybe you got business or whatever, or vacation, I don't know. But especially when you go to the baseball games, have you ever gone up there and asked for a hot dog? And then asked for ketchup because you don't see any, at which point you will be told no, you'll be laughed at, pointed at, ridiculed, and pelted with rocks and garbage. There's no such thing as ketchup on hot dogs in Chicago. You do your mustard, you do your relish, you do your peppers, a little tomato, diced tomato, you know, stuff like that, some relish, did I mention that? A little salt on top of it, poppy seed bun. Vienna pure beef wieners, the best in the world. You notice I didn't mention ketchup. Well, it's very entertaining, I think, because the Heinz people have about had it up to here with that whole idea. And so around Wrigleyville and near Wrigley Field, and actually at other places in Chicago too, Heinz is installing little billboards, almost like little kiosks, with ketchup for people who insist on ingesting the forbidden condiment. I think that's funny, though. Who told that fat weather guy on Channel 4 that he could do a Harry Carey impersonation? Because he's running around doing it on TV today, and he's terrible at it. It's awful. And he's rolling around in it. He's reveling in it because somebody told him that it's a good impression. Repeating, it isn't. March Madness has crossed over into April. Saturday at 5, NC State against Purdue. 7:50, Alabama and UConn. March Madness happening in April. All right. Monday night's Iowa versus LSU game, the most watched women's college basketball game ever. Show business news, and then we'll get to some more highlights. Part of the 40th anniversary. George Lucas, richest celebrity in the world, $5.5 billion, according to Forbes. He's followed by Steven Spielberg with $4.8 billion, Michael Jordan, $3.2 billion, Oprah, Jay-Z, Kim Kardashian, director Peter Jackson, a tie between Tyler Perry and Rihanna at $1.4 billion. And it is Rihanna, by the way. We've been saying it wrong all these years. We've been saying Rihanna. That's wrong. Tiger Woods, $1.3 billion. He's in 10th place. LeBron James, Magic Johnson, Law and Order creator Dick Wolf, a tie for 11th place. And then Taylor Swift, she's got $1.1 billion. She's in 14th place. And you can see that going up, too. In a 2019 interview that's making the rounds, Ashton Kutcher pleaded the fifth when he was asked for stories from any of the Diddy parties he attended. The two of them have been friends for 20 years. When we, as radio station programmers, try to figure out what you guys are going to like, there's all sorts of factors and tons of research that's always being done to make sure that what we are playing are songs that you want to hear. And it breaks down largely demographically. For example, a radio station might say, okay, here's the first song of the hour. This will appeal to 25 to 54-year-old adults. The next song will appeal to 18 to 34-year-old females. But then we come back with another song that will appeal to 25 to 54-year-old males. And then they break it down socioeconomically, too, and also depending on what county you live in. Traditionally, our radio stations where we do classic rock have always been really, really big in St. Charles County, much more so than St. Louis County. It's not like St. Louis County, nobody's listening, but in St. Charles, everybody is listening. I mention all of this because there's a therapist by the name of Nikki Roy who says there's a thing called neural nostalgia, where researchers are actually finding that the music we listen to as teenagers binds to our brains differently than anything we're ever going to hear as adults. That actually makes sense, that music is such a great coping mechanism because it, quote, helps us get out of our heads and helps us connect to ourselves. It makes us feel alive again. They go on to say that the music we listen to at that age becomes attached to our sense of identity. Quote, we are discovering music on our own for the first time, and when we're young, often through our friends, we do it. We listen to the music they listen to as a badge and as a way of belonging to a certain social group. Makes sense. Jennifer Lopez's career is in trouble. She very quietly renamed her tour This Is Me to Now This Is Me Live The Greatest Hits. Weak ticket sales. They're trying everything to try to get people to buy tickets to see Jennifer Lopez. They recently canceled 7 of their shows. Earlier this week, we lost a very, very funny guy, actor Joe Flaherty from SCTV. Died. He was 82. You may remember him as the heckler who calls Adam Sandler a jackass in Happy Gilmore. But I loved his character on SCTV, Count Floyd. Count Floyd. He would come on and they would show a clip from this very, very scary movie, but it wasn't scary at all. But he would come back and try to make it seem like, today it's scary, huh, kids? Oh! Count Floyd. Great character. Very, very funny guy. The new Roadhouse movie notched 50 million views over 2 weekends, making it Prime's biggest debut. I didn't bother with it because everybody that I know who saw in advance said, oh boy, you heard of the rating PG? How about PU? Mindy Driver says she was the only one not allowed to wear a wetsuit under her clothes on the movie of Hard Rain because, according to her, the producers wanted to see her nipples. End quote. Eddie Murphy turning 63 today. David Hyde Pierce, 65. Alec Baldwin, 66. Tony Orlando, 80. Wayne Newton, 82. 46 years ago today, 1978, at the 50th Academy Awards, Woody Allen beat away the odds. They never give Best Picture Awards to a comedy, but they did that year for Annie Hall. He beat out Steven Spielberg for Close Encounters and George Lucas for Star Wars. He won Best Director Annie Hall also won Best Picture. Diane Keaton won Best Actress for her role in it. Richard Dreyfuss, Best Actor for The Goodbye Girl. John Williams, Best Original Score for Star Wars. 28 years ago today, 1996, a guy who grew up in my neighborhood, the Unabomber, Ted Kaczynski, only lived a couple of blocks from my high school girlfriend, and it was his own family that turned him in, because after he published the manifesto, they were sitting there in Chicago, like I said, just a couple of blocks from my high school, reading it going, well, that's frickin' Ted, that's for sure, that's Ted. And so they call the FBI and they go, that's our brother. He had sent out 16 mail bombs across the country, killing 3 people, wounding 23. He was serving a life sentence without the possibility of parole, but he died in prison last year at the age of 81. And it was 14 years ago today, 2010, Apple released the first generation of the iPad. Now you want to talk about bad luck. 2 people in Indiana were out for a walk when they got hit by an airplane. One of them was seriously injured, and so was the pilot of the crashed plane. Meanwhile, a guy in Naples, Florida, is trying to get NASA to cover the damages after a 2-pound object crashed through his roof last month. Experts say it was old batteries from the space station. 26-year-old man facing charges after he randomly fired multiple shots in the streets of downtown Nashville. He was celebrating his divorce. The Planters Nutmobile is looking for drivers. You can apply at bapnutter.com, bapnutter.com. Deadline is April 14th. The eclipse is Monday. Weather at this point not looking ideal, but it's a long way away. I wouldn't start worrying about it yet. Inmates in New York are suing the state corrections department. The inmates are suing their jail because they want to be able to see Monday's eclipse. The suit argues that keeping them inside violates their constitutional rights to practice their faiths by preventing them from taking part in a religiously significant event. Nice try, boys. And by the way, fake eclipse glasses are back. People are selling them online. This was a problem a couple of years ago in 2017. You could burn your eyeballs out. Now, if you have gotten sunglasses for this whole thing, eclipse sunglasses, I stress, and you're not confident that the ones that you bought are going to do what they're supposed to do, Scientific America says there's a 3-step test that you can do to make sure your eclipse glasses are legit. Number one, put them on indoors and look around. You should only be able to see very bright lights like a halogen bulb or an iPhone flashlight shined directly at you. Then you can take them outside, but don't look at the sun yet. It should be too dark to see distant hills, trees, or even the ground. Number three, take a quick glance at the sun. It shouldn't hurt at all. You should be able to comfortably look at the sun and see a bright, sharp, edged disc. If it feels hard at all, stop immediately. And only do it if your glasses pass the other 2 tests first. If they pass all 3 tests, you're probably good to go. But be careful, because it's not foolproof. You might want to be cautious. Only look at the eclipse for a few seconds every minute or so. With all that in mind, here is something I promised as part of not only our 40th anniversary celebration, where we're playing back the highlights every morning on the radio show and also here on the podcast, but also because it's timely. And here's the deal. If you have a way of recording this, well, then you can do it that way. Otherwise, just make a notation for the J.C. Corcoran podcast here on Wednesday, April 3rd. All the shows are archived. So on Monday, you just go back to today's podcast, cue it up, and then you back time it about 13 minutes from the point of totality. Over 115 miles over south and southeastern Missouri from West Plains to Cape Girardeau will provide total solar eclipse viewing from 1:55 to 2:04. So back timing 2:04, 13 minutes. So like 1:51. 1:51 p.m. is where you'd want to start this music track. And if you do it all right, the crescendo of this montage that I put together should peak right at the exact time you want it to. So again, you want to about 1:51 is when you would start this, and then the whole thing should time out perfectly. So as a gift to you from me, here is our special eclipse reel, and good luck on Monday.
Sunshine, go away today.
Blinded with sight,
blinded by the light.
I'll follow the
just go to the moon and don't worry about a thing.
Cause I'm being followed by a moon shadow.
Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed.
Well, it's a marvelous night for a moon dance.
I'll see you on the dark side of the moon.
You don't think we got anything more important to do with $20 billion than to send a guy up on the moon to hit a few golf balls?
What's more important than that?
Operation Deep Freeze.
Yes, it's a secret project Roger and I are working on to prepare us for the cold nights on the dark side of the moon.
Let's swim to the moon. It's just another full moon. Bang, bang, shoot 'em up to the moon.
I'm going to the moon!
You'll want to be the first to see an actual invasion from the moon. In Republics, radar men from the moon.
Fly me to the moon.
Walking on the moon.
If you believe they put a man on the moon.
On this harvest moon.
Moonberry moon delighting you. Moon on Monday,
July of the sun.
Ain't no sunshine when she's gone.
Let's go down. Sunset grill.
Don't let the sun go down on me. Yeah.
Here comes the sun.
Here comes the sun.
It's time to find a place in the sun.
The morning sun has come.
A friend named Sunny Sky.
Sunspot, baby.
Sunshine came softly through my window today.
Waiting on a sunny day.
It's another tequila sunrise.
I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa.
Pick up sunshine.
While that lean, sun goes down.
You are the sunshine of
here, need the sun and the stars.
Sometimes the sun goes round the moon.
Mama always told me not to look into the eyes of the sun. But Mama, that's where the fun is.
The sun is a crisp autumn moon.
But in the summers, I worked in Toronto in a planetarium. Nine of us worked there. We had our own softball team. We would play other planetariums in the area. When no one was inside the planetarium, we would practice inside the planetarium, and I played second base. So I stood right under Saturn, the shortstop stood on the Jupiter, the third baseman stood under Mars. One time we tried this same setup outside, but everybody was just way too far away from each other.
Thank you.
parted orb that rules the night removes the colors from our sight. Red is gray and yellow white. But we decide which is right and which is an illusion.
You take that audio track and maybe throw some weed in on it, and you're going to have yourself a good time on Monday afternoon. All right, back to the highlights. This is one of my favorites. You know, Lance Hildebrand, been doing traffic on the radio for, I don't know, 50 years in St. Louis. He only worked at one radio station his entire career, and then about a year ago, they whacked him. His whole business just absolutely sucks donkey. It's just awful. There's absolutely no job security. There's no loyalty from either side. You're constantly looking over your shoulder to see if anybody's about ready to just lop your head off. Nobody trusts anybody. The salaries have all been driven down. The music is terrible. It's just the same crap over and over and over again, which is why we tell people, well, you know, if you don't like the repetition, we have been listening to you complain about it, and for good reason, we think you're right, which is why we have put together the largest playlist in all of St. Louis radio on K-Wolf. So now we've given you what you say you want, support it or else. But I digress. Lance was a great guy to have on the air, very, very funny guy. And back in the late 90s, when we were all on Clue, Mark Close, the sports monster, Steve Schlanger, me, Lance, John Canavera, our producer, all listening attentively.
70 westbound east of Cypress, some debris in the roadway. Not a bad run this morning as compared to yesterday. Well, I mean, even a 50-car accident would be good.
98 cars bump into each other, and you're going to make a big deal out of it.
Yeah, well, you don't have to worry about any of that kind of stuff coming out of, O'Fallon, St. Peter, St. Charles this morning on eastbound 70. Slow on westbound 270 through Florissant Road and the Interbelt. 5570 westbound
and
slow.
By the way, those of you driving through O'Fallon, stop off and see Mr. TikTok and the dog Nicholas, too.
Is that the name of the dog?
Nicholas.
I think that's what caused the initial part of the 98-car pileup.
Nicholas was on the side of the road winding up a clock, and everybody flipped.
The TikTok shop guy. I like that one spot where it was like the Western spot where they were like shooting guns.
I'm shooting down high prices. Bang.
Yeah. You stay up late some nights, don't you?
See, but the other thing, too, is they wanted to hold up the dog. They're really proud of this little poodle they have, Nicholas.
And well, they should.
And they held up the dog to the camera. But, you know, I guess what people don't kind of understand who aren't really familiar with television production, if you hold up a dog face first, a small dog, you hold up a dog to the camera, sure, you see its face, but you also see something else.
Everybody's going, hey, Nicholas. Hey, bub.
They're just trying to, you know, find a mate for Nicholas.
You're hung like a grandfather clock.
next day they open up for business and there's like 85 female dogs at the door.
Exactly.
maybe they misunderstood the intent of the commercial. I said clock.
TikTok.
Show us.
Hey, Nick.
Get us a tight shot of the clock.
Hey, Nick.
Easy mistake.
Sorry.
Here's his cameraman. How are we going to frame this thing? Well, a little left, a little to the right. Wow.
What are you trying to get a picture of anyhow?
That's right.
A lot to be said for correct enunciation.
You want us to light what?
And those dopes at that station pulled the plug on that show. It was only one of the funniest things on the air at the time. All right, I got two more to play for you here. Sometimes when I would have to stay over an extra day in California doing a movie junket, I would end up using this radio studio in Culver City, California, just outside of L.A. So I'd be sitting there doing my part of the show, and everybody else would be in our studios in St. Louis, and we would be able to talk to each other via the line. And because of the time change, I would go in there at 4 o'clock in the morning and be on the air from 4 until 8, at which time that would make it 10 o'clock in St. Louis. And right about that time, Casey Kasem would walk in the front door out in California because I was using his studio. So just about the time I was finishing, he was getting ready to start doing American Top 40. Yeah. And so one morning I was like, Casey, come on, join us on the air.
I'm in Los Angeles, home of the El Nino. And also, I've been saying all morning that, you know, I'm here in the studio of a very, very famous broadcaster. And I know that you guys don't believe that that's where I really am. But even though it is only about 7:30 in the morning, Los Angeles time, here's the man himself.
Well, this is Casey Kasem, along with JC, saying hi to you, Karen, and to Schlanger, and also to Misha.
Hey, how are you?
Well, great. What a nice surprise here to be able to speak to St. Louis. Last time I was in St. Louis was for the David Letterman show, and we were at the Arch there, right?
Right. Casey and I were on the Casino Queen doing a live shot back for Letterman, and Casey was on the it was the Pants Across America.
That Pants Across America. He does some dumb things.
Where were your stops? You went to St. Louis and where else?
Yeah, and then the fate up in South Dakota.
Right.
And then Las Vegas, as you mentioned, and St. Louis. I'm trying to think of the other places.
You ended up out here, didn't you?
Yes, that's right. We ended up here, and then
I think the Grand Canyon was one of the stops.
Oh, that's it. Oh, that was awesome.
was I with you on this trip?
How could I forget that the Grand Canyon? I mean, that's the most awesome thing I've ever seen.
Yeah. So I'm surprised to see you here this early in the morning. Are you getting ready to record your show?
Yeah, we're doing our special. We do three specials a year, counting down the year-end hits, because we do three different countdowns, and then the daily five-minute show, and then I'm doing the Nick at Night countdown again this year for the ninth year for their top 25 shows, and then the video show for VH1, counting that down, too. So it's a busy time for
Casey, what do you think? You walk into work on a Monday morning, and you see JC in your studio. You got to think, oh, God, it's another Monday.
No, I just thought I was fired. That's all.
now, Karen, being the big VH1 fan that you are, there you go. You want to ask Casey? Maybe you could put in a special long-distance dedication right now.
There you go.
Oh, Casey, whatever you'd like to dedicate to me would be fine.
Oh, well, we'll have to wait until I get a television dedication show.
You better do it. Her husband's a cop. So
okay.
Thank you very much for coming by.
JC, what a pleasure. And everybody in St. Louis, happy holidays.
You too, Casey.
Thank you very much. Okay, great. There you go, folks. Casey Kasem.
I'm going to keep my feet on the ground and
keep reaching
for the stars.
See, I knew that everybody thought I was making this up, that I was in Casey Kasem's
studio. I know,
you
startled us.
That was a good voice you did right there.
Yeah.
He's out there to get Don on the phone right now to get me a call.
Did you even mention that to him?
No, I waited until he was gone.
A lot of fun. And we'll close today with our conversation with Siskel and Ebert. You think all that bickering they did on their TV show and when they would do Letterman or the Tonight Show or something like that, you think that was all just for show business? It wasn't. These two guys would fight about anything, as you'll hear coming up here in our conversation from 1996, part of JC's 40th anniversary in St. Louis.
Gene Siskel and Roger Ebert. All right, Roger, I'm going to start with you. I remember a long time ago you saying that your job essentially was to say what you think. That's got to be a little more complicated than that. For one thing, you have to know what are good questions to ask. But beyond that, what makes what you and Gene do so much different than everybody else that you've been able to last this long and that you've distinguished yourselves among the rest of the people doing it?
Well, I think one of the keys is that there are two of us, so that when you watch the show, there was somebody right across the aisle who is likely to disagree or correct if something goes down that doesn't sound right, so that we can have instant rebuttal. But the job of a critic, I think, is to be an ideal member of the audience, and I think that's what we try to do. We are not supposed to be actors, directors, writers, musicians. We are supposed to be audience members, and if you're in touch with what's actually happening on the screen, and if you express that honestly, if you say, this is what happened to me, this is how I think, then you can't be wrong as a critic.
I think if you're looking for what has sustained us for 20 years, and the popularity of our show, I think it's two things. One, I think we're pretty good journalists, and we're trained from our newspapers. Roger at the Chicago Sun-Times for 29 years, myself at the Chicago Tribune for 27 years. So we're reporters. We're not just, you know, appearing on television for the first time, and we're just glad to be here, isn't our attitude. And the other thing is that we truly do love the movie beat. We're not mean guys who, you know, are failed actors who somehow want to hate pictures. On the contrary, we're looking to express our love of film, and we get energized and thrilled when we come across a picture that we both like Fargo most recently. And we'll talk about Fargo for the whole rest of this year. We'll talk about it year end and why it should be nominated for an Oscar, and we're excited by that. And I think our enthusiasm comes across through the screen. I hear that from actors and directors. Even if we've knocked their pictures, they do acknowledge that we do love film. And I think those are the qualities that have made us work for 20 years.
Guys, one of the people that's going to be on the special, including Meryl Streep, Steven Spielberg, we have some particular interest in Brad Pitt, which I'm going to get to in a minute because he's a Missouri boy. Right. 10 years ago, Gene, 10 years ago, you called Tom Hanks a poor man's Bill Murray. What changed?
Well, Bill Murray at that time was having a superior film career. I don't know what role Tom Hanks played that I called him that, but Tom Hanks has moved beyond, although I liked him in Bosom Buddies, he has moved beyond that into creating some indelible characters. Clearly, Forrest Gump is one of those, and he's really become the actor that I would compare him to now is James Stewart. And that's as high a compliment as I can give, because James Stewart embodied the best of America and Americans, of who he wanted to be. And Tom Hanks, at his young age, has that too.
Roger, a long time ago, you and Gene both used to basically say, watching home videos is not going to the movies. You've come off of that a little bit in recent years, and is that because of the increase in technology?
No, I wouldn't change my statement. It's not going to the movies. And I love home video, and I have a great setup at home. In fact, I have a 10-foot screen with an overhead projector and a laser disc player.
What a surprise.
And I love to sit there, and I love to look at movies that way. And I have a video book out, you know.
Right.
But nevertheless, I would have to say that the best way to see a movie is to have light shining through celluloid onto a big screen and be surrounded by a great audience and a wonderful theater with terrific sound.
And who's got
That's
the better
the
setup?
To see a movie.
And who's got the better setup, Gene? What Roger just described, or you with the home satellite dish?
Yeah, well, the satellite dish plus...
I have a dish, too.
Yeah, satellite dish plus a line doubler that I have is a high piece of technology. The image that I'm getting is superb. I haven't actually seen a movie in Roger's setup. I'm sure it's pretty good, but I know mine's excellent. I
have a line doubler, too, although I think Gene feels it's not as good as his.
Haven't seen it, I wouldn't know.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh, how much fun was that. The world is a lesser place with the passing of Gene Siskel and Roger Ebert. And with that, that's it for the J.C. Corcoran podcast for Wednesday, April 3rd, 2024. Don't forget now, we're here every Monday through Thursday at 11 o'clock at jcontheline.com. Tomorrow, opening day on the radio show, 101.5 St. Louis, 101.7 West, and kwolf.com. And then we'll do our podcast version of the same thing tomorrow morning at 11. Congratulations to our buddy Smash, who is joining us on K-Wolf for the afternoon show, 4 to 7, starting a week from Monday. We'll talk more about that a little bit later on down the line. You have yourselves a great day. Stay warm. Start picking out warm stuff for tomorrow if you're going to the game. And in the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.